Whatever up, boys, I lessons from the lay parshas Akev. This is a great opportunity for me. I'm so excited, slash not, that I'm able to give a Musar lesson, lessons from the lay, to the teens who I will be traveling with together to Boston, Amir Tashema, Baalein, Latova. I've done many interesting lessons from the lay in my days, probably the best one was in Poland. The best one was in Poland. That was a very difficult message for me. And now here to the teens in Camp Misora, a first for me. So hopefully we'll enjoy ourselves and I won't have to scream at you and you won't go back to your parents and tell them that this lesson was a little bit too musari for you. So here we go. This week's Parsha and Parsha's Ekev, as we know, we are reminded of a lot of the things in the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu decides to go ahead and to reiterate what happened in the Torah. And warns us about a lot of things, right? Rachmana Litzlan, but when a person passes away, he wants to impart on the nation, move up front. He wants to impart on the nation those things that were wrong. Those things that, hey, you're going into Israel, well, move up. Yeah. So, Moshe Rabbeinu says here, Perek Ches Pasuk Yud Aleph, Hashomer Lecha Pen Tishkach Es Hashem Elokecha. Hey, take care. You're going to forget Hashem, your God. Don't forget Him. Es Hashem Elokecha, Levilti Shomer Mutzvo Mushmat of Chukiv Asher Anochi Mitzav Chayom. He warns them. He says, what's going to happen is that you're going to get to Eretz Yisrael and you're going to become so rich. You're going to have so much money. And what are you going to do with that money? You're going to forget God. Because you know what you're going to say? It's me. I'm man. Right? God, you know, I like Him. We dive in the morning. But the reason why I'm so successful these days, move up front. When you're coming in, move up front. If I'm successful today, my success is only because of one thing. And that's me. I'm the best accountant. I'm the best lawyer. I'm the best doctor. It's because of my talents. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, don't forget where you came from, okay? You're not so eiskahalten. You're not so great. Remember where you came from. People become successful in life and they forget the little people, right? All of a sudden, now it does work both ways, I admit it. When someone becomes really popular, all of a sudden he gets all the calls from old friends. Hey, I heard you won the lottery. How you doing, buddy? Love you. You're the best. So, what's even more startling is the pasuk is explaining to us the following. If you're sitting, No, go back. So, I'm going ahead, says the Torah, and telling us, and this is what Marsha Feinstein points out, all material blessing that Hashem gives you is not for you to buy more things. It's in order to serve God. God created different people in the world. There are people who struggle, and it's difficult for them. And therefore, it's difficult for them to serve God. But those people that have the money, it's in order for them to continue to do more. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, and he quotes here, I actually have it here, we don't have time to read through. There's a beautiful drasha Sharan. The Ran, you know, the famous commentary in Gemara. So he wrote drashas. And here in our parasha, he speaks exactly about this idea. We shouldn't think that our reward is because we're so good. This is a very, very interesting concept. The reason why I'm rich is because I'm a good guy. God made me rich because I give a lot of money to Stucker. That's why. Huh? That's why. Now I can move to the five towns. Because God loves me. He obviously loves me. Look where I am. Look what the car I drive. He loves me. Moshe Rabbeinu's warning, says Rav Moshe Feinstein, is exactly against that. And in fact, he writes that the Smag, one of the formulators of the mitzvos, you know, we have 613 mitzvos, although we don't know exactly what they are. So there's a fight, if you will, between the Smag, the Smag, the Rambam, the Ramban. What are the 613 mitzvos? So one possibility is that the mitzvah is for a person not to think that his credit is due to how good he is, and that's why Hashem did it. We know that the real reward for mitzvahs is Olam Haba. And that's the way we are rewarded in this world. The advantage of mitzvahs is in order for us to do mitzvahs. And that's what the Rambam writes. The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, and if you want any good mussar, read the Rambam Hilchos Tshuva, says the following. Me'echad mi, one, me'acher, shenoda, you have a person who goes ahead to matim schar mitzvah mitzvah, ve'atova, she'schar lo, shmor na derech Hashem, ha'kosu batorihi. He says, recognize the fact God put you on this world to become a better person. Your gifts in this world is not because he loves you or something like that. What does he give you gifts in this world for? For you to do more mitzvahs. We've explained before that mitzvahs is a way to get close to Hashem. It's a way to get close to Hashem. That's the point of mitzvahs. Nothing else. Says the Rambam, don't think you're such a great guy. Chaya Olam Haba is what he's giving you. You're working at everything to become a better person, but for the Olam Haba reasons. That's toward the schus that a person has. So again, a person shouldn't think, according to the Rambam, that the blessing Hashem gives you in material objects that you could have, that Lexus that you might have, are intended for you to serve God better, to learn His Torah, and observe His mitzvos. Why? Because if a person's poor, it's very difficult for him to serve God, because he's always thinking about, how am I going to make it here? It's hard for him to learn Torah. Material blessing is a test from God. Hashem is testing us. He's testing us in the way where He's basically saying, okay, I've given you blessing, now what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? And we all know, I'm sure you guys know, that abundant blessing is not all the time a good thing. We know people who become rich and it goes to their head. I don't have to tell you this, but you can name almost every single sports star, and that's exactly the way that their lives are. How are their lives? Their lives are all about nothing good. They use their money for horrible things. And the richer they become, the worse things that they do. And then they go ahead and think that if they give a little money, give it to me. No, not that. No, give it to me. And they go ahead and see that everything that they are is defined by the $100 they gave to some charity organization. Material blessing is a curse in a way, because it's going to define who you are and what you are. And this is what it says in Pirkei Avos. Pirkei Avos tells us, Ben Azai Omer Hare Ratz L'Mitzvah Kala Kichamura. The famous Ekev, the first pasuk in our parsha, says, what is Ekev, a heel? Rashi comments, Shadash Ba'akrav. There are certain mitzvahs we treat as not important to us. You know what we do to them? It's not so important. God doesn't care about this. It's just a bracha. I really need to make a bracha on food. Ah, he doesn't care, God. We dash bracha. It's such an easy thing to do, and we don't do it anyway. And then he says, Uboreach min aveira, shem mitzvah, goreris mitzvah, 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 goreris mitzvah, says the Hungarian. The aveira, goverit aveira. Shchar mitzvah, mitzvah. Shchar mitzvah, mitzvah. Vishchar aveira, aveira. If you do good, it leads to more good. Says the Bar Tanura. What does that mean? Minagoshel olam ha'usem mitzvah achas noach lo. He feels good about himself. La'asos acheret. So marchil be'a ve'irot kasha ve'ot schar mitzvah mitzvah. Shemin ha'shamayim esayim ezan b'yad mi she'oysa mitzvah achas she'yasa acheret k'dei letet lo schar al shteyem. The reason why you're given a mitzvah to do the right place is that you do more mitzvos. A person shouldn't think, well, I'm such a great guy, that's why I have mitzvos. That's not true. Again, a mitzvah is goreret another mitzvah. Why? It's a reward that Hashem gives you to continue to do more. Because he sets you up, if you will, to do better. Now a few stories. When I was in college, I found myself wanting to succeed in life, so I wanted to have a summer internship, like many people have. So I got very lucky, and I landed a really good job. I worked for a gentleman by the name of Michael Bloomberg, who would become the future mayor of New York, and the company that does his accounting called Geller and Associates. And I learned a lot there. And I established a business mentorship with this gentleman, Marty Geller. Marty Geller is a multi-hundred millionaire, and I apologize if, you know, this goes on Y.U. Torah, he doesn't want to hear it, but it's one of the greatest lessons I've ever received. And about 6 years ago, 5.5 years ago, I decided to leave the business world and go into the yeshiva world to become a Rebbe in Yeshiva Leva Torah. And I decided that before I made the move, I would go ahead and speak to my business mentor, Marty Geller. And I'm going to tell you guys a story now. I want you to hear the story quite well. It's not worth it now. I'm telling you, it's not worth it to waste your time doing what you're doing. I'm telling you, it's not worth it. The story is golden. So we go out to dinner, Tavern 84, one of the fanciest restaurants in New York. And if anything else, I'm going to have a really darn good meal. So we're eating, going well. And I'll be honest with you, what I'm waiting for is Marty Geller, one of the owners of the Philadelphia 76ers, to beat me up. Beat me up mean what? To tell me, are you kidding me? You've been moving your life up? You now have a consulting company. Not, what are you doing? You're going to be a Rebbe in a yeshiva? I don't understand. I'm waiting for it. And I tell him the whole story. And he looks at me and he says, Daniel, you are so lucky. I said, what? Yeah, thanks. Rabbi Hartstein's here. He said, you're so lucky. I said, what do you mean I'm so lucky? He says, you get it. You're lucky because of your parents. Your parents are teachers. They understand chinuch. They understand that life isn't about money. This is a guy, you know, who's got hundreds of millions of dollars. So I'm like, what do you mean? So he says, I live a fake life. I said, excuse me? He says, I live a fake life. And here's the example he gives me. You're wasting your time. You're wasting your time. He says, right now, this was a Thursday night, when I'm done with you, I'm getting on a private plane, okay, to go for the weekend to
Florida.
No, it was the weekend of the Super Bowl. 5.5 years ago? No, I don't think so. Anybody remembers? It was January. No. Keep going, keep going. No. Indianapolis. Thank you. He was going to Indianapolis. Thank you very much. He was going to Indianapolis. And he said to me, you know what, Daniel? I don't like football. I hate football. I'm not a sports guy. Do you know why I'm going there? He goes, and I have to take a private jet there. I have to stay at the fanciest hotel. All because on Monday morning, after the Super Bowl, people are going to call me and they're going to ask me, well, you're at the Super Bowl. And if my answer is no, they're going to say, ooh, maybe we should take our money out of our accounts with him because he must not be doing well. Who doesn't go to the Super Bowl? I live a fake life. I have to do things I don't want to do. And I'm like, can I go instead? Like, he says, it's not real. I don't have real friends. He said, I just had my son's bar mitzvah. He said, all these people were there. They're not really my friends. It's just this, you know, back and forth. Here, we'll give your son $1,000 for his bar mitzvah. You give our son bar mitzvah. They're not real. I don't live a real life. The only time I feel real, he says, is when I teach. He teaches college students at APAC, the love of Israel. He says, it's the only time I feel real because I have all the money in the world. He says, it's 11 o'clock now. Do you know how many people I have sitting in my office working for me now that can't go home to their families? What's my problem, he says. For what? What do I need all the money for? And I'm like shocked. I'm looking around for the cameras, you know, from, you're a punk. I'm just kidding. Money's amazing. And then he made me pay for dinner. No, I'm kidding. The point is that material blessing, and we see this, by the way, in our parsha as well, something you know a little bit better, the pasuk of Ayahayim Shamoa, Tishmuel Mutosai. God promises that he'll give you material blessing. And one of the things he says is that he's going to give us what? Esev, Sadadirnecha, that your cows and your cattle, your horses, they'll be able to eat. And from that, Rav Kook learns out that we know that there's a mitzvah to give your animals food before you eat. So Rav Kook asks, why is that the mitzvah? Why do you have to do that? Right? You come to the Shabbos table, you're about to eat, and little Fluffy is there. And you have to give him food. The halacha says you have to feed him first. What? So some say, it's tzar balei chayim. It's not nice to the animal. Says Rav Kook, I'll tell you why. Because when an animal is hungry, it can't concentrate on anything else. Right? We are hungry, let's say. So we're hungry, but we do other things. Right? On a fast day, we don't only think about food, I hope. We're able to focus on other things, do other things. Okay? You're really hungry. You didn't like breakfast this morning, and now you have to wait till your next meal. You'll be able to function. You'll play ball. You'll do everything. You'll eat later. An animal can't do that. It's hungry. It only thinks about food. Says Rav Kook, that could be man. The bracha in Vahayayim Shamoa is that if you listen to my ways, you'll get blessing. Again, that blessing that he gives us is in order to serve him better. But sometimes we become animals. It's not the food that gets to us, it's the money that gets to us. So much so, we can't think about anything else in our lives. It clouds us so much that we can't think of anything else. And we can't serve God properly because we always need to have more money. Let me ask you a question. By a show of hands. Okay. You have a job. Baruch Hashem, you're making a nice amount of money. You work every day, 9 to 7. Not bad. Your boss comes in and he says, hey, listen, I got this big project I need you to work on. Problem is, it's due next week. So I need you to work really, really hard. Can you stay till 11 for the next week? Might be 12, might be 1 a.m. But I know it's got to be worth it to you. I'm going to pay you an extra $1,000 a day for 7 days. $7,000. Anybody here would do it? Hopefully, unless you're not listening to me, everybody would do that. Who cares? You finish the 7 days. He comes into your office. He gives you $7,000. Cash. He says, wow. Let's be honest. I never thought you would get this project done. I don't know how the heck you did it. I said, yeah, actually it wasn't easy. You told me 11, 12, forget about it. Some nights I just pulled the all-nighters. It's the only way I could finish a project. But you know what? At the end of the day, it was worth it. He says, you know what? I think you're one of my best employees here. I want to give you that $1,000 a day now, every day. The only thing I ask of you, don't go home until 1 o'clock in the morning. Now would you do it? Now you got 12 months of coming home at 1 o'clock in the morning. You got kids. Is it worth it? The Torah tells us, don't let material blessing go to your head. Yeah, at the end of the day, you're right. You'll have more money than your neighbor. You also will never see your kids. You also have no life, and I don't want to get personal here. This is the Musa part, you know. Maybe you experienced this already. Maybe you have this in your life today. Maybe you have a parent who works hard. Now, it's true. Many of our parents have to work so hard because you don't know what they're doing for you. You guys are here a second month in camp. You know how much money that is? For what? So you can go to Boston? It's not easy. It's not easy, Rabbi Yisai. Why do your parents do? They love you. But some parents are just going and going and going and going and going. No. Are going for what? In order to make it big. I don't know for what. For what reason? And now here comes the story of all stories. And this story, again, I can only ask you to listen to. You don't have to, of course. This is the story of Daniel Hartstein. That's me. Okay, yeah. Now you learn my first name is Daniel, last name Hartstein. Good. I'm going to tell you a story that defines this whole message. I believe. It talks to us about a mitzvah is given to us not for success to say that we're so good, but for orders to serve God better. And God gives us money to do better. They once interviewed Howard Jonas, the chairman of IDT. Baruch Hashem has quite a lot of money. I think it was Forbes magazine, if I'm not mistaken. And they said to him, you give so much money to charity, how do you do it? And he's like, I'm not such a big deal. All I'm doing is giving exactly the same amount of money other Jews give. You have to give 10%, but because I made $400 million, so that's a big deal. But everybody has to give 10%. I'm not doing anything you shouldn't do. But here's my story. When I got married, I decided to how to make a decision. Do you take that job where you're going to work every night till 11, 12 o'clock? Or are you going to take a normal job and get home 7 o'clock at night, 8 o'clock at night? So I went with the regular job because I wanted to be there for my kids. I wanted to go to the little things, the birthday parties, the kindergarten plays. And here I am now 10 years later. I'm about to move to Israel. Yeah, we have a little party. Our friends come. And a friend of mine comes to me and he says, can I talk to you for a second? I said, okay. Takes me on the side and he says, you know, we went to YU together. We graduated together and you went on your path and I went on my path. I'll tell you where my path took me. This is this guy talking. I became a very successful accountant. I made quite a lot of money. And I always looked at you and said, you know, like you're a little bit of a Nebuch. Because here I am making hand over foot money to support my family forever. And you made this decision to like, you know, come home every day at 7 o'clock for dinner. But I was at risk, of course. I would come home every night on a good night about 11 o'clock. A lot of times I have to go in on Saturday night because I had to make up for Friday coming home at, you know, 3 o'clock. But it was worth it. And yeah, I missed a few birthday parties here and there and the sitter play. And, they weren't big deals. And you know what I did with all that money? I'm talking about big money. I invested in the stock market and I was doing quite well. And you know, there was a little bit of tension between me and my wife because, you know, she's like, honey, how come you're never home? You know. But you know the cars that I drive. You know the house I have. It's triple the size of your house. Cars are a heck of a lot nicer than yours. I dress better than you do. Not saying much. 2008, Rabbi Yisai. And he says, now let's compare me to you. Now you're moving to Israel. And I'm here. And it's 2008 and the market has crashed. And all the money that I made in the 10 years, I don't have anymore because I lost it in the stock market. So all those years of 11 o'clock and 1 o'clock in the morning hours and the business trips where I didn't see my family for weeks and weeks, For what? I don't have the money. And you know what you have in your pocket? You have the birthday parties. You have the learning you were able to do, the mitzvahs you were able to do, all those things that I had to make excuses and say, what do you want me to do? I have to daven in the office. I've got to be in the office today by 7 o'clock. See, he gave me material blessing, and you know what I did with that? I thought material blessing meant good. It allows me to have more material blessing. It's just a story, of course, but it really hits upon a really important topic. And that is, who are we, and what will we become? The Torah warns us, Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, if you think, don't forget God when you get up there. You know, this is the parsha of the Shemitah year. Shemitah, can you imagine, guys, if the Torah told you, you're working, you're an accountant, yeah? Every 7 years, you got to take a year off and learn Torah. Farming was the thing that people used to do. People used to be farmers. A year, they said, you're done. In Israel, during the Shemitah year, they have these huge kollels where people who aren't even religious started learning Torah. They started taking a year to recognize who? God. Every 7 day, you're off. It's called Shabbos to recognize God and say, hey, you're not in control of the world. Guess what? I met with a company this week, not religious people. And the woman said, you know, the biggest mistake that I made in my life is that I don't keep Shabbos. She says, I don't know about everything else. I don't know about everything else. She says, but Shabbos, see, my kids on Shabbos, I would be amazing if we could have a meal together. It would be amazing if they stopped texting for 25 hours. If they weren't going on to Facebook and all these other things. She says, I made a mistake. We have Shabbos to declare it. You could be the biggest CEO in the world. You're not answering one call on Shabbos. That's what we are. That's who we define ourselves as. Mitzvahs go erech mitzvah. Don't. It's good to do mitzvahs. You should feel good about it, but it's in order for you to do better. God gave you money to be a better Jew, to do more things. And you got to be real with yourself. I know somebody who bought a huge house, and they were embarrassed. It's a little bit embarrassing. And they said, oh, you know why we bought a big house? Because we're going to have a lot of guests on Shabbos all the time. Okay, maybe. I don't know. And I'm not questioning this one needs this car, that one's it. I don't know. And we all in some way are very material in who we are. Because everybody here is dressed in a way, you know, I could show you, you can go, I could take you, I won't, but I could take you to Guildford. On Friday I went just to go shopping, and then there was a store there, and it was like a $5 store. It had clothing for $5. Imagine wearing a shirt today, and the pants, they're all $10. You would never do that. Why? Because it's got to stay on it. Your team name. It's got to have on it, whatever. The Adidas or the Tommy Hilfiger. Why? What's the difference? So, you know, you're gonna go crazy. What are you going to say? No, Rebbe, you don't understand. It is different. Because mine is made in Cambodia and his is made in Vietnam. They're all the same stuff. So we are into materials. The question is, what do we do with it? How do we react when we have plenty? Sometimes it's difficult after a Shabbos Nachamu that we just had to go ahead and say, what do I need the Beis HaMikdash for? What's in the Nechama here? Things are pretty darn good here. How is the Beis HaMikdash really going to help me? What do I need to go to Israel for? I got everything I need here. I could be a good Jew in Woodmere. I could be a good Jew in Lawrence. I could even be a good Jew in Teaneck. And in Florida. This shades our knowledge of what we are and who should be. The Torah gives us a Shemitah year. It gives us Shabbos. He even gives us Sukkos to sit outside for a week and say, I could be this person. I could be a bum in the street. I could have to sleep out here. But God gave me great pleasure of material blessing, and I have to use the material blessing only for good. And this is a lesson you guys should take with you. What material blessing is and what good can I do with it? Yes, there are amazing people who are wealthy and dedicate their lives to stucca, to Torah, to mitzvos, and it's because they're wealthy to be able to do that. And they start organizations and they print svarim for people. But the idea of mitzvos is to get closer to God, and we shouldn't pat ourselves on the back if we do something good, because it's just to do more good things. That's why Hashem put us on this world. So my bracha to you as we conclude is that we'll take the brachas of material blessing that you all have, and we'll take it with us to another level, to a level where we are able to serve God and recognize the greatness that God gave me in material blessing is all to serve Him in a better way. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.